Just want to say thank you for those of you who have been supporting our church and our television ministry. In the summertime months especially can be quite difficult. Everybody's on vacation and doing all kinds of things, and things can slow down quite a bit. So I just want to thank you for your support during these sometimes difficult summer months. It helps us to keep things going and to, especially with our television ministry, to keep reaching people who can't make it to church for whatever reason, and for the name of Jesus. And we've become really their home church through the television. So it's really quite a humbling thing to think about that. So thank you once again. This morning we'll be reading from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, found on page 1160 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The word of the Lord. Some of you might have seen a wonderful movie that came out a few years back called War Room. Perhaps some people might not have given the movie much thought just simply because of the title. If you didn't know much about it and just saw the title, you would have probably thought that the movie was about the details of some past war, and the theme was about how the generals got together in their war room to come up with a plan that would defeat the enemy. If that was what people thought that the movie was about, I can tell you they were wrong. That is not what the movie was about. In fact, the movie had nothing to do with guns or tanks or military or generals at all. The movie was about the spiritual battles that Christians face in this life, battles that affect nearly every aspect of the way that we live. It affects our marriages. It affects our children, our jobs, our happiness, our finances, our thought processes, everything. Touches everything. And without giving the whole movie plot away, the main character finds great wisdom in her elderly neighbor, who spends time every day in a place that she calls her war room. What is the war room? Well, it's nothing more than a closet that this elderly woman uses to come to the Lord in prayer. And in this closet, she has pictures of different people that are on a prayer list that she has made. She has sticky notes reminding her to pray for different things, different events. She has her Bible, of course, in this closet. And she has a chair which she kneels upon as she brings these things to the Lord in prayer. That is her war room. That is where she fights the battles that are raging in people's lives. That is where she employs her weapons of warfare. Now, some people don't like to think in these terms, but the reality is that if you are a Christian, then you are in a battle that is never ending. It takes place whether you like it or not, and it directly involves you whether you like it or not. If we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we find ourselves in the middle of a war. But here is the important question. Did you know that? And even if you did know that on a purely intellectual or doctrinal level, how many people in the church today actually think about the reality of spiritual warfare? Do you wake up in the morning thinking about how the devil and his angels are trying to destroy some aspect of your life today? Well, probably not. It's probably safe to say that people who think that way are often viewed by other people, even other believers, as just being weird. And I don't think we need to go as far as some people do and say that there's a demon lurking behind everything in life. I don't think that there's a chocolate demon who, you know, maliciously tempts us into eating things that contain high amounts of sugar and trans fat, because if that was the case, we'd all need an exorcist, right? That is to say, just because we're drawn to things that might not be healthy for us does not mean that there is a demon under every rock. I don't think we have to go that far. Yet we also have to not be so ignorant or naive in our faith to believe that we are immune to the dangers of the spiritual world. We must acknowledge that spiritual warfare is a very real and very dangerous thing. In my own life and experience, I've come to know that there are many aspects within our physical lives that are, in fact, a direct result of something that has a spiritual source. Sometimes the things that we experience with our physical health actually come from something that is very spiritual. Sometimes the physical problems that we face, things like troubles that we have in our relationship, are not physical at all, but in fact are very spiritual. The mental or emotional difficulties that we face can often be traced to something that is very spiritual. These types of things are the casualties of being in a spiritual war. And if we're not aware or if we are unwilling to engage with the enemy, then many people can essentially be described as nothing more than prisoners of spiritual war. They're in chains. They're in bondage. And what Paul is telling us in this closing section of his letter to the Ephesian church is how we can not only be prepared to fight in these spiritual battles that we face, but how we can win those battles because of the victory that has already been won in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're willing to heed Paul's words here, each of us will be well prepared to engage with our spiritual enemy, both on the defensive and on the offensive fronts. The first thing that Paul clarifies for us, and something that we've already alluded to, is that the battles that threaten the believer are not physical, but spiritual. I want to tell you that even when something happens to us that is very real and very physical and very painful, that thing or event in itself might not be the root of the evil thing. Let me give you an example of what I mean. In the event of something as wicked and as heinous as murder, the taking of another human's life, we tend to think of the act itself as that thing that is evil. We are right in thinking that murder is evil, but the reality is murder just doesn't happen. Usually there are a whole series of things that occur before the actual murder ever takes place, right? So although we might understand the physical act of murder as evil, which it is, the truth of the matter is that there's something much more evil, much deeper going on within a person that resulted in the physical action of committing a murder. Murder is simply a manifestation of a greater evil at work in a person's life, and I think that greater evil in this world is exactly what Paul is talking about in this section. Paul tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Right off the bat, Paul wants us to know that our strength to fight in the spiritual battles are not our own. Our strength is given to us by God himself. In our own strength, we are not very much to contend with for the forces of evil. They don't have to worry about us because we're not really much of a threat. In our own strength, we're easy targets for the devil and his minions. But our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit who makes his dwelling inside of us. And because we're not fighting with our own limited resources, but with the weapons of God, all of a sudden, you and I are formidable. We are fearsome to the enemies of God. We are strong because we fight with the Lord's strength and we are mighty in his power. So what do we need to do as believers to prepare for the spiritual battles that are directed at us? Well, Paul tells us that we are to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, we don't wait until we are being attacked by the enemy. That is not what we are supposed to do. Rather, we need to be prepared well in advance of any kind of unsuspecting scheme or attacks of the devil. Why is this preparedness important? Well, as we already mentioned, for the person of faith, our battles do not take place in the physical world. Our battles take place in the spiritual realm, or as Paul tells us plainly, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's a different kind of warfare altogether, isn't it? As with our example of something as wicked as murder, the true battle is not against flesh and blood, but against those forces that are the underlying root causes of evil in this world. Murder is indeed evil. We all know that, but what caused a person to commit murder in the first place? Genocide is evil when it is done by a nation or a government. But what was it that pushes a nation or a government to commit genocide, something so evil as that? Paul calls these forces the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the forces of evil in the heaven and the heavenly realms. These are the unseen forces working behind the scenes, pushing the things that cause destruction and hurt and pain and even death to the human race, because that is what the devil's all about, isn't it? Destruction and ruin. Now, just in case you're wondering what Paul means by the forces of evil in the heavenly realms, that doesn't seem quite right, does it? What he's most likely talking about here is the battle that takes place not in heaven, but rather in the atmosphere all around us. If that seems like a strange concept to you, let me give you an example of this from Scripture itself. This is a passage that has always fascinated me. This is from the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel had been praying for the Lord's intercession, been praying for a while. And on one particular day, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And this is what the angel tells him. "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." Interesting. Now, just in case you didn't follow that, Daniel prayed. His prayers were heard in heaven. God dispatched an angel, but the angel was attacked by a wicked angel, noted here as the prince of the Persian kingdom. The attack lasted for 21 days until Michael, one of God's archangels, came to the aid of that first angel and allowed him to carry on to accomplish the mission that God had sent him to do. And what is interesting is that for the duration of those 21 days, Daniel had no idea of the battle that was taking place in the atmosphere around him, in the heavens around him, totally unaware of it. It was unseen to him, and yet it was a great battle nonetheless. It was an unseen battle. I think that is the kind of thing that Paul's talking about here, the kind of forces that he's talking about here. Another interesting thing to note here is that the angel who appears to Daniel identifies a wicked angel specifically associated with a geographic region or a specific people group. In this instance, it was the region of Persia, which is modern-day Iran, or the people of ancient Persia who existed at that time. Now, it could very well be that the case that the wicked and the evil that we see all around us today is in fact influenced by unseen demonic forces, such as the one that was evident here in the instance of Daniel. And what that tells us is that our prayers matter. They are powerful. And we need to be mindful of the evil that exists not only in our own geographical location, because no doubt there is evil around us, but we need to be mindful of the evil all around the world. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Paul tells us, but against every kind of spiritual wickedness in this world. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Putting on the full armor of God is something that each believer must actively do. This is something that we have to do. And if you think that this is not something that you need to worry about in your life of faith, I need to tell you that not heeding Paul's words here is just simply foolish. We need to do this. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be attacked. One pastor said it succinctly. If we are serious about the Christian life, we can expect there to be a serious conflict, a serious struggle. Paul tells us that we are in a serious struggle. You ever feel like your life is a struggle? I do. Maybe the troubles you're facing have very little to do with physical circumstances, but everything to do with spiritual circumstances. That could very well be true. Sometimes we feel like we're fighting a battle, don't we? Sometimes we feel like it's a losing battle. We're tired. We're beat up and we're bruised. Have we put on the full armor of God? Because in doing so, we'll be able to stand firm against the spiritual attacks of the enemy, Paul tells us here. But not only that, Paul uses the word stand here twice in this verse. It's kind of an unusual way to talk. What that means is that with the full armor of God, we'll be able to stand our ground against the enemy, not yielding an inch, but also we'll be able to push back so that the enemy is not allowed to get into our territory. You're not allowed to go this far because we have the power and the resistance and the tools to keep them out, to defend our place, so to speak. The book of James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's good advice. We don't want to give the devil a foothold because once he has that, the battle's all but lost. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. The battles we face are not the physical ones that often manifest themselves in our lives, but the unseen battles that seek to attack our souls. The battles that threaten the believer are not physical, but are in fact spiritual. Now, if you're not comfortable with the notion of engaging in spiritual warfare, I need to tell you that this text is not meant to bring us into a level of frustration, but rather hope, because of who we are and what we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the main purpose of what Paul is talking about here is meant to demonstrate to us that there is no spiritual attack that is too big or too powerful for us to overcome. What he highlights for us in these next verses is that the believer is fully equipped to overcome the attacks of all spiritual enemies, not just some, all. Paul tells us about the individual elements that make up the full armor of God. And I want to approach this a little bit differently, because what we're actually talking about here are not literal instruments of warfare like helmets or shields or swords or something like that. Instead, Paul is using metaphoric language that describes different spiritual things that make up our lives, spiritual aspects of our faith. The first item he notes is the belt of truth, and the second is the breastplate of righteousness. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And so the question is, what are these things? How does a Christian put them on, as Paul tells us to do here? Well, what we can say is that the things that Paul lists are not things at all, but are rather aspects, as we said, of how we are to live. The belt of truth is not a physical belt that keeps your pants up, but it is rather a manner by which we live out the truth. A belt is something that we put around our waists. For those of you who are familiar with exercise programs, much attention is usually given to strengthening our cores. That is, that area, the stomach muscles and stuff around our waist. I think what the idea behind that is that our cores are where our strength comes from, our stability comes from. That's the source of power in the way we move. And I think what Paul is saying here is that we need to be strong around our cores, spiritually speaking. The faith that we have is based on the truth that we have come to know about Jesus, the truth that we've come to trust about Jesus Christ, and what he has given to us, about the salvation that he has procured for us. These are all truth things that make up the elements of our faith. So without girding ourselves with these life-changing truths, we will be exposed to being weak. We'll be vulnerable to the attacks that question our identities in Jesus. We're not living by that truth. And along with the truth belt, Paul tells us that we are to make sure that the breastplate of righteousness is firmly in place. What does the breastplate protect? Right here. It protects our vital organs, especially our hearts. I think one of the things that this points to is our devotion to the things of the Lord. We might ask it in the form of a question, what is in your heart? If it is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to be pursuing the things that please God, right? But if it's something other than devotion to the Savior, our hearts are going to be filled with other things that are not according to the will of God, and quite frankly, things that are going to make us vulnerable to the temptations of the devil, because everything else is open to us. Everything else that is supposed to be off limits to us, things that we are supposed to have put behind us, are still active. And all of a sudden, if that's the case, that makes us very, very vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. Exposing our hearts to the things that draw us away from Christ is going to give the enemy a very, very big target, which is why a breastplate of righteousness is such a vital component for the Christian. And he says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Our feet carry us to the places that we want to go. The problem comes when our breastplate is not securely in place and we desire things that are not in the will of God. The heart's desire points the waist, right? In the direction we want to go, and our feet are the instruments that take us to those places that our hearts desire. But with a strong faith in Jesus, our hearts are not going to betray us, so that where our feet take us is to those places that keep us close to where God wants us to be. And if we're following the will of God, then we are living according to the peace of God. We're not going to have that inner spiritual conflict. And by the way, if we're living lives that are out of sync with the will of the Lord, you're never going to have peace. If we're living according to our former sin nature, our hearts will desire the things that are going to take us to places, to desire the things that are going to pull us away from God and make us vulnerable to attacks by the enemy. We need to make sure that our lives are living in confirmation to the faith that we profess. That's what Paul's talking about here, living our lives in that way. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, take them up as well. The soldier's shield was typically meant to keep arrows from finding their deadly marks, keeping them away from you. In this example, the shield not only protects us from the piercing arrows of the enemy, but they actually extinguish those arrows that have a fiery incendiary. In ancient warfare, archers would often lace the ends of their arrows with tar and pitch and light it on fire so that when the arrow finally finds its mark, the fire will spread and catch everything on fire. The idea was that it would destroy everything. Utter destruction, total destruction. And by the way, isn't that the devil's goal? Total destruction of your life, of your relationship with God. But for us, it is our faith, that element of belief that is put in front of us, protecting us from the piercing arrows of the enemy and snuffing out the fires associated with his arsenal. Our faith needs to do that. However, what do you suppose would happen to a person who has a weak faith? Would their shields last, their shields of faith? Would it be able to protect against the spiritual attacks that often come? God doesn't love you. If he did, he would never have let you go through that painful experience. That was a flaming arrow. If God truly loved you and cared about you, he would have healed your loved one, but he didn't. What kind of God would allow such a thing? Now you're alone and you have to struggle every single day of your life. Funk. Another arrow. How would your shield stand up against attacks like that? Would it protect you? Would it extinguish the incendiary fires that are meant to destroy you and your relationship with God completely? Our shields need to be strong and impenetrable. Is yours? The helmet of salvation protects our minds. The believer knows that we have been saved by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can take that away from us. But if we are uncertain about that salvation, we are exposed and we're open for mental attacks, intellectual attacks. And if the enemy can get us to question our salvation, well, the battle is all but lost already, isn't it? If we're now questioning everything about the things that Jesus has given to us, that would be life-threatening territory indeed if our minds are exposed. But we do have a weapon to wield. We have the sword of the Spirit. And as Paul tells us here, that dangerous offensive weapon is the word of God itself. If we are unwilling to use Scripture as a weapon of defense, then we are without any means of warding off the enemy at all. The perfect example of how to use this weapon is given to us by Jesus himself. When he uses Scripture, Deuteronomy, in fact, to counter the temptations of the devil when Jesus was in the wilderness. Three different times, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy. When's the last time you read the book of Deuteronomy? And yet Jesus uses that book as a weapon against temptation by the devil himself. And in each instance, Scripture was effective in striking a blow to the enemy. It's called the sword of the Spirit because the author of our Scriptures is the Holy Spirit himself. And when we employ that weapon, no dark spirit is able to withstand its power. It's the Word of God. God has given us everything we need to not only protect ourselves, but to overcome the attacks that are directed towards us. But we have to be willing to use them, to put them on, to employ them. The believer is fully equipped to overcome the attacks of all spiritual enemies. Now there's one more piece of arsenal that we have been given that not only connects us to other people of faith, but connects us more importantly to God himself, and that weapon is the weapon of prayer. Prayer is the spiritual weapon that unites us to the power of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let me rephrase what Paul is saying in this verse. Pray about everything. Little things, big things, for people, for countries, for situations, for events. Pray in the restaurant, pray in the kitchen, pray in the morning in the car on the way to work. Pray in the evening. Pray always. As Paul says in one of his other letters, pray without ceasing. Now keep your eyes open, of course. You don't have to have your eyes closed, especially if you're in a car. We wouldn't want people driving around with their eyes closed seeking the Lord's direction when you're headed in my direction. Don't want that. We are to pray without ceasing. In other words, we are to be a people of prayer. And the reason for that is because prayer unites us with the power and with the will of God. Now, just to be clear, when Paul says that we are to pray in the Spirit, he's not talking about praying in an unknown tongue, as some people like to argue. He's talking about praying in unison with the Holy Spirit who dwells inside each and every believer, in you. Praying in such a way not only connects us to other members of the body of Christ, the church, but it connects us to God himself. This verse became something very real for me this week. Literally, as I was going through this particular verse, this section about praying always, praying for other people, I got an urgent prayer request through a text message. And it was shared that 229 Christian missionaries had been arrested and sentenced to death in Afghanistan as a result of the recent Taliban takeover. What was their crime? Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that in some countries. Of course, this goes back to the notion that some areas of our world are controlled by demonic powers, and sometimes you kind of go, yeah, they have to be for such evil like that to take place. Talk about an attack by our spiritual enemy for those people. I've not received any more updates about how they turned out. I did hear about some mass execution that took place in a cricket field. There's a sport of cricket. Apparently that's a sport in some countries. And killing Christians is also a sport in some countries. Definitely spiritual attacks in our world. But for me, it highlighted the reason that we are called to prayer. Through prayer and through being united to God, we can affect spiritual change on the other side of the world. Something that we can't do physically, but we can certainly do it spiritually. We know the power of prayer intuitively as believers because as soon as something happens to us or something in one of our churches, one of our members' lives, what do? Well, we start prayer chains. We want as many people as possible petitioning the power of God to intercede for whatever situation is on our minds. I remember when my wife was kind of in the heat of the battle with her cancer, she was overwhelmed with the knowledge that people she had never met, people who lived in places that she had never been, were praying for God's healing in her life. And it was truly a humbling experience for her. I remember that well. But it's that united prayer that binds the family of God together and unleashes the power of heaven in this world. And as Paul concludes this section about fighting against the forces of darkness, he asks the churches to pray on his behalf. You see, what I haven't told you thus far in this message is that Paul is writing these words while sitting in a Roman prison cell. If anyone knew about the attacks of the enemy against the people of God, it was Paul. Paul was in a prison cell because he had been faithful to Jesus. But notice that Paul is not asking the churches to pray for his release. Instead, Paul is asking for prayers that would help him to use his imprisonment for the glory of God. Wow. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let me ask you something. Would that be your prayer request? Paul finds himself in a very serious situation. He is in prison for preaching the gospel, and he is literally chained to a Roman soldier. Can't get much worse than that, could it, when you start to contemplate your future? That would be understood by most of us as a dire situation indeed. But Paul sees this challenge in his life as a wonderful opportunity to share the love of Jesus to the most powerful man in the ancient world. Paul was going to have an audience with Caesar himself. And Paul is asking the churches to pray on his behalf, not that he would be released and allowed back into society as a free man, but that the Spirit of God would give him the right words to say when he stands before the Roman emperor. Yes, Paul is a Christian. Yes, Paul is bound in chains to a Roman guard, but far above his earthly circumstances is the truth that Paul is an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he is, he will use this moment as a chance to bring glory to God and his Savior. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's inspiring, isn't it? I think we can say that when it comes to putting on the full armor of God, Paul is a perfect exemplar of that. But the question is, are we? Would we have the same kind of dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul has demonstrated for us? It's a big question, isn't it? We'd certainly like to think that we would. But until we are placed in a situation where the spiritual battle is raging and we are under attack, we simply don't know how we will respond. But that is the importance of being prepared before those attacks come. We have to have all the necessary components of our spiritual armor in place so that we are not caught off guard and unprepared. And I think there are countless people in the world today and churches today who are completely and utterly exposed to the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, and are unprepared to meet a spiritual attack. This is a serious risk that those people are taking, because if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those spiritual attacks are guaranteed to come. It's not a matter of if they come, it's a matter of when and how often they come. And if we're not prepared to deal with those attacks by the enemy, the damage and the destruction that will result can be devastating to our faith and to our love of God. But the good news that Paul gives us here is that God has given to us everything that we need to defend against and to defeat anything that the enemy might try against us. With the full armor of God, we know that we are strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Jesus has already won the war. But these little skirmishes, these battles that take place amongst the devil and the Christians, they come nonetheless. They are futile, but they come nonetheless. And if we have an unshakable faith, we know that we are victorious as well. You and I might not have our own official war room, but we need to be battle ready so that we can conquer any spiritual attack that might come our way. Can we do that? Can we put on the full armor of God, those gifts, those things that God has already given to us, so that we can take our stand and defeat spiritual attacks? May each of us take Paul's words with the utmost seriousness and put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and push the enemy back. You're not gaining any foothold here. The power of evil is no match for the power of God within each and every one of us. Let us live in that power, rejoice in that power, and defeat anything that comes our way because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, sometimes we get to a portion of Scripture that makes us uncomfortable. We don't like thinking about the fact that we are enemies of the devil and we are subjects of his attacks. But that's the reality of our faith. And so we cling to the truth that you have revealed to us today, that you have given us everything we need to defeat those attacks, not in our own strength, but in your strength. Help us to have an unshakable faith, to live our lives in obedience with your will, to represent our Lord Jesus Christ in all things, so that the devil has no place to challenge us. He has no foothold. Give us the strength we need, Lord, and the wisdom we need to put on the full armor that you have provided for us. And as we think about the future, help us to live on the offensive instead of the defensive, bringing the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, this dark world. Help us to never sit back and just wait for attacks to come, but help us, Lord, to be ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ, going forth in his name and defeating the enemy in all places. We pray these things in his victorious name. Amen.